Want to discover leading strategies, share experiences, and connect with fellow consultancy leaders from companies like EY, PwC, or Porsche Consulting? Then join us in Munich for the Leaders in Consulting Conference on the 27th of June, a one-day event exclusively for consultancy leaders like you. Places are limited, so head to leadersinconsulting.com to claim your ticket now. That's leadersinconsulting as one word.com. See you there.
If you look to projects where AI is really part of the solution, then today I would say it's about 10-15%. But what we see is that a lot of companies are now looking at AI and thinking how they can benefit from this. So I will expect that when we talk about in 3 years, what will be the size, that we are talking about maybe 30% or more.
Welcome to the Leaders in Consulting podcast, the show that delivers cutting-edge insights from other leaders in consulting companies. If you want a summary of learnings from each episode, or you want to meet other consulting leaders at our monthly in-person meetups, head to leadersinconsulting.com and subscribe to our newsletter. Please note, you must be a partner or MD of a consulting company with at least 40 employees to be eligible to join our in-person meetups. Today, Harald Haller joins us. Harald is partner at AXO. Welcome to our show, Harald.
Thank you very much, Sammy, and I'm happy that you invited me, and I'm happy to talk to you.
Yeah, pleasure is all mine. So tell me about your company, AXO. What are you doing?
Well, AXO is an innovative software company delivering IT services and IT consulting services for many companies. We are a partner for digital transformation. We are delivering IT projects and individual solutions, mainly in that areas that create an additional benefit for the clients or are mission critical. Mm-hmm. With our highly skilled team and our methodology of accelerated software engineering, we deliver quality or high quality solutions. Mm-hmm. Areas where we are very strong are, for instance, cloud computing, process automation, architectural design, IoT, and also data analytics and artificial intelligence. And maybe some of our major clients are BMW, the German Railway Company, Deka Bank, the Federal Office of Economic Affairs and Export Control, or also German Television, ZDF.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting, and big brand names, yeah? How big is your company?
It's about 270 employees. Mm-hmm. We, in total, delivered already about 1,500 projects, and the revenue in the last business year was approximately 23 million euros.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And I just told you before we started our conversation, I just came back from London and we had a meetup there for consulting leaders, and when they introduced themselves or each, it was interesting to hear that all of those consultancies had an angle or something with software. And someone said, well, as everybody here or in London, we also do something with software. And in Germany, it's not the case. So with you, we have a consulting company that is basically focused on delivering on these aspects as well. And I think that's super interesting for our conversation today.
Yeah, I think also. Thank you.
And what geographical markets do you focus on mainly? I mean, the clients that you mentioned are mainly in the German speaking area. Is this your headquarter wise at least?
Right. So we are focused on the German market, but also on South Africa, since we have
South Africa,
the subsidiary in Cape Town. We are also expanding our business to other countries in Europe as well. So that's what we are starting right now.
So maybe then a follow-up question here. your employees, like how are they distributed? How many are in percentage wise or absolute numbers or whatever is easier for you? How many are in Germany and how many are in other countries or in which other countries?
Yeah, about 90% are in Germany and about 10% in Cape Town.
And out of curiosity, because we also have like a center of excellence now in Cape Town with like 7 employees now. So how come that you have employees in Cape Town?
Well, I think that a personal relationship between one of our founders and one person who actually lived in Germany for, I don't know, 10, 15 years and had the idea to create something in Cape Town in South Africa, and then they agreed to do it together or within the AXU group. So this is the thing behind. On the other hand, it's really impressive what people you can hire in Cape Town, and also it fits very well to our culture. And the next thing is also that there is no real time shift, maybe of 1 hour, but you're in the same time zone, and this makes it easy. And when you talk about London, it's also one idea to expand our business to the UK as well, especially due to the link to South Africa.
That's cool. I mean, next time you just come with me to London for a meetup and meet a lot of consulting leaders. Maybe that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I will do.
So, but now we are talking about a different topic. And it's a topic that's top of mind for, I would say, 100% of consulting leaders. And I think everybody can guess it now. It's AI, yeah, Gen AI and AI. And you have a really interesting background there. So maybe let's start there. What is your background with AI?
Well, what is interesting is when I started math, and about 30 years ago, I already had lectures and seminars on artificial intelligence and neural networks. And yeah, at that time, these topics were very popular as well. And so they boomed very much, and there were already the first experiments at the Technical University at Munich with autonomous driving cars. Yes, at that time, to be honest, it was more theory than real practical use. And what is interesting is that even today, the theory behind and the algorithm we are using or that are used are 30, 50, in some cases even more than 100 years old. So that's already existing for a long time. What I also did in the last years, I was in charge of several projects with AI, with in the fields of predictive maintenance, recommendation engines, assistant systems. Also, there were experts implementing the things. I got also some overview of what is used, what algorithm is used, and especially what are the benefits for the clients.
Mm-hmm. Super interesting. We will come back to your hands-on project experience a little bit later. It's interesting. I also studied mathematics, yeah, but financial mathematics. And it was designed, the study was designed, it was kind of new at that point of time, to be the middle role between the hardcore mathematicians and the financial people so that you understand both words and you can work with both words. And that's what I kind of understood, what you just explained. You're not programming yourself, for example, but you understand and you speak the language and you understand how the models work. Did I get that one correct?
Right, that's exactly right. Also, when I studied math, I had to focus more on the engineering topics and material science. But as you said, I'm more talking to the clients and talking about the solutions and other people in our teams that are implementing.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And I'm happy to basically see a fellow mathematician. Yeah. I think you're the first one, yeah? So that's cool.
Really? Especially in our business, there are still a lot of mathematicians. So.
Yeah, but I think I never had one on the show. So that's a first, yeah? So in your opinion, with the theory being like on market for such a long time, what led to the recent mass adoption of AI?
I think what is the main difference, if I compare to 30 years ago, is are 2 points. One, we now really have the mass data in order to train the model, to get them trained. When I look back, it was like, yes, we had some nodes, we had some data, but it was clear when I used this data, what is the outcome? And we were talking about very small models. And this is one change. And the second thing is that we have the computational power to handle huge models. Today, even with more than 1 billion nodes that can really handle complex things and understand language, for instance, like ChatGPT. And the other way, we have to say that OpenAI, who's the company behind ChatGPT and Microsoft, did a very good job in making it visible to a lot of people, for instance, by integrating the Copilot in Bing. A lot of people implicitly are using AI and see that there is some AI behind.
Yeah, and I also found it super interesting that now computational power seems to be like a competitive advantage somehow. I mean, NVIDIA is going through the roof, but I think Sam Altman wants to raise $7 trillion with a T to basically have more computational chip production capacity. So I think that's interesting, but not the topic of our chat now. It just reminded me what you just said about that. Yeah. So now, of course, here we are in the Leaders in Consulting podcast. So my question is to you, in your opinion, what is the now current potential and also in the short-term sense of 2-3 years of Gen AI and AI in the consulting industry?
Well, there is already a huge potential if you see where it's used today. For instance, I was talking about ZDF, German television. We implemented the recommendation engine. So what is behind? Depending on the movies you are watching, the series you are watching, and comparing to other people with similar interests, other movies, series are suggested to you where it's very likely that you like them as well, for instance. What we are also doing in project, think about public or federal offices or insurance companies where you ask for money for support on one hand side, or if you have claims due to a damage at an insurance company, and then you apply for the money. And in this cases, AI is used, and we implement this in order to check whether requirements are satisfied, whether the description or you provide makes sense, or whether it's a fraud attempt. And with this, the application is pre-qualified and then handed over to an officer who really takes the final decision. But this helps and supports also the process as well. And think that about predictive maintenance, image processing, for instance, to check whether products are have any failures or any issues, or use image processing in autonomous driving. to see what is around, or also in production with robots. That's what we are doing. And also, which is used very often, are chatbots in order to speak or talk to you. Mm-hmm. And one thing which will also have major influence on our business, on the software development, is AI-assisted software development. So that the developers, and that's also used already today, ask AI to produce code for today. It's more or less simple topics like create a frame with two or three input fields and buttons, and ChatGPT is providing the code already. And yeah, so there is a lot of potential.
So you mentioned a lot of applications that you can basically offer to your clients right now. Right. So there's more potential to help your clients succeed. Are there also changes coming in how you as consultant or consultancy work? Besides, of course, your software developers, as you said, I mean, they're getting faster or better with Gen AI. But do you already see right now or foresee some changes in your company there?
Well, there are several fields you can cover with this question. But also, what if you look to consulting itself, then also some simple questions where you typically ask consultants, you can provide the information. And especially if you ask to collect data from several sources, and a lot of consultant work is also to provide data from other companies, from other websites, for instance, from different sources. This is where AI and ChatGPT is very strong at. So to collect data, bring it together, and present it in a reasonable way. And this has to be observed. On the other hand, especially if you think about Gen AI, today you cannot be sure whether it's 100% correct. You see a lot of things where there are fakes, or where there is just some interpretation or fantasies in the answers. And so you still need the expertise whether this could be real and correct, or whether this could be fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Can relate to what you just said. We are heavily using Gen AI for our copywriters, for example, where we basically take the podcast, create a transcript out of it, and our copywriters leverage ChatGPT to distill the best content pieces out of it. And there was one day this week where ChatGPT had a glitch, and it produced totally weird outcomes just on one day. And then I thought, wow, I mean, if this persists, we're going to have a problem with our company. I thought they will fix it anyway, so it's a problem they will fix. But I also see some like dangers there that you're reliant on something that you cannot control in any way.
Yeah, well, I also know about examples where you gave ChatGPT a text to translate the text, included some questions, and there was just some questions and they were not answered. And ChatGPT translated the text and answered the questions as well. So yes, you have to have a look what is the outcome and check whether it's okay or not. And also what also can happen is that some are manipulating the results. So this is also a danger that can occur.
So in the beginning, our copywriters were afraid that, well, do we need us anymore or in this capacity? And I said, well, I'm pretty sure we're going to need you. We need good people that make sure that you have the quality output. And of course, you have to be able to ask the right questions and give the right input. And we are still improving our prompts almost on a daily basis. So now translating it to the consulting world, where usually the work that you described was done by a junior consultant or more junior person, yeah, collecting data, putting it into slides. That was a job that I did at least long hours when I started as a consultant. How will this change, in your opinion, especially with the more junior consultants?
It will change that some of these simple tasks, whether it's consultants or whether it's software developers, will be handed over to artificial intelligence. Like you can compare it 20, 30 years ago, where simple tasks were shifted to software, what people did, and therefore also the work and work experience will change. And also there will be a difference if you talk about juniors, that you have to make sure at university or at school that they are already get familiar how to use AI. Hopefully this will change. And also when I see young people coming from the university, a lot of them, at least in computer science, have already experience in AI. They are not collecting this data anymore or in some years, but they know how to advise and instruct the AI to do it. And hopefully they have also the skills to check whether it makes sense or not. But this will be requirements that will come up.
Mm-hmm. Now shifting to, and you already mentioned a couple of interesting projects that you delivered with AI. More focusing on this part now. So what percentage of projects do right now involve AI at your company?
Well, if you look to projects where AI is really part of the solution, then today I would say it's about 10-15%. But what we see is that a lot of companies are now looking at AI and thinking how they can benefit from this. So I will expect that when we talk about in 3 years, what will be the size that we are talking about, maybe 30% or more. And if you add the number of projects where AI is used in the development process, that's the other thing, then I would say you can double the number. So then we are talking about also 10-15% today that are using AI in the development process. And so you end up in total maybe by 25-30% with some AI content in the project.
We talked about, in the pre-interview, about some examples, and you mentioned, where you leveraged AI successfully in a project. So one example you mentioned was a luxury product client, if I remember correctly, that you had to find a smart way to, with product recommendation. Can you elaborate a little bit on that example?
Unfortunately, since this is not in the market already, it's in the development phase. I'm not supposed to talk about details, but point out in general what it's talking about. If you talk about products, and a lot of products are really complex and have a lot of features, and nearly no one is studying the user manual in.
I don't read a manual, no.
Yeah, me too. If and if it's not obvious what features are in there, you will not use the features that are hidden. And this is a top issue. And especially if you're in a high pricing segment, and you have added value in there, additional features, but no one uses it, then there is the question why to buy this expensive thing. And what is the idea behind it? It's more or less as a recommendation engine. So it checks what is your use of the product, what are typical situations that you're using, and which features you have never used. That's the one thing. And then it compares your behavior with behavior of similar people that use the product similar in similar situations, and then checks which features are they using often, and you have never used them, and then you get a suggestion. Why don't you, do you know about these features? You can start it this and this way and try it.
That sounds cool. So basically the device will tell me how to use or tell or teach me how to use it in the best way that suits me.
Yeah.
I like it. I had a similar issue with my smartwatch, so a sports watch. And after half a year, I noticed that it has more features that I could leverage. And it was really interesting and good for me to use them. I never knew it until I saw a YouTube video about it, just by chance. So I see the value in there. So you already worked with a couple of clients on AI projects. Are there some key learnings, maybe also in how to manage clients and how to conduct such a project? Is it exactly as other projects, or are there some differences, you would say, how you would have to approach it as a consulting leader?
There are a couple of differences. First of all, what is the same is that you have to find the benefit for the client. For any project, you have to find what is in for the client, what is the added value? Otherwise, he's not willing to spend the money. So that's the part that is equal. I remember the time when I was talking 20 years ago with clients, or more than 20 years ago, whether we should use the internet or not. That was also funny, like, is it secure? Who's adding... getting my data and things like this. And whereas in the last 10, 15 years, this was no real topic. It starts again that the clients think about what is about the data. And there were also some issues. If you ask ChatGPT or AIs about confidential and give them confidential information, you have to make sure, or there is really the danger that the AI learns, use this confidential information or intellectual property, and gives it as an answer to someone else. So that this is really a point. So you have to take care about data. There are also some legal issues as well, like that in some cases, by German law, the final decision is not allowed to be taken by artificial intelligence. It has to be taken by a person. And also there is the fear of, can it replace my task, my job? Similar situation with software 20 years ago. And also the topic about fakes and deep fakes in there. So, yes, you have to talk about some topics which were not on the table for the last 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine, I mean, the bigger the company, the more complex these the answers might at least be. I had recently an interview with Christoph from RPC, and they it's basically a 50% owned consulting company, 50% owned by BMW, and they rolled out some AI projects there, and noticed that for each almost country there are different rules they had to comply. So in the end, I mean, it sounded really the task that I would never want to do. make sure that you checkbox all the regulations and you don't make any mistake there, because as you said, it sounds so easy. Yeah. So yeah, you have to take care of the data and whatnot, but it can become really complex, I assume.
Yeah. I had a project. It's a different sector. It's about communication. It's in the IoT field, and you have some connectivity, and if you provide it to clients and get money for connectivity services, then you might be in the situation that you have to follow the telecommunication laws. And in this way, it was the case. And yes, it's very different to handle this in different countries. And this was a real, only the handling in the different countries was a major project. So
yeah
it's not, this legal issues, it's really an issue.
Yeah, so it's basically, if you want to build out an AI arm or want to have this capacity, you definitely have to think about this like whole regulatory arm of this whole project that you also have to cover, which, as you just said, it's not a minor thing that you can brush off easily. It's really manpower that you need there and people who know what they're doing, or at least learn fast what they have to do.
Well, it depends what is the use of the AI. If you just use it internally, it's easier. If you just use it in one country, like if you talk about ZDF, then it's easy. And what the ZDF did, they also published the algorithm that are used so that you can get the feeling how the data is processed and give the people a kind of security that nothing serious happens there. And also you have as a company the option to have your internal AI, so that you buy a ChatGPT, an instance of ChatGPT, and the model, and integrate it in your company and use it just as an internal solution. Some companies are doing that.
So I remember projects when I was a junior consultant, where at that point of time, the consultancy tried to organize its own knowledge by implementing an internal Wikipedia, so to say, and it never flew. And now slowly, it seems like it could be possible with using your own data in a structured way in GenAI that you can start leveraging your own data, because you have a lot of good projects, a lot of good ways that you executed things as a consultancy. Do you think about doing something similar in your own consultancy?
Well, this could be an option. Where we are working on is really the topic about at clients to the question whether it's internal or external. We are also focusing very much on the topic AI-assisted software development. Since we are AXO, Accelerated Solutions, we are really focusing on things that helps to optimize the development process. That are things what we are doing right now. At the moment, we do not have our own internal AI model, but it could happen that we do it, especially if we get project where clients require or ask us to use AI-assisted software development, but since maybe some parts are really critical, that these software remains either at the client or in our company. So this could happen, and we have the skills and the people to set this up. So this is not an issue. It has to be done.
So, in terms of your project experience leveraging AI or GenAI, what was for you personally the very best and the worst part of like, you can pick anything that you want, but where did you think, wow, that was amazing? Where do you think, oh my God, that was horrible?
Well, I have one topic. I have to rephrase it somehow because it's also the client. But the question is, if you use kind of recommendation things, but this not in a personal setup, like in the smartphone, but in a setup where others might notice what the system suggests, then it's an issue because there might be suggestions that are critical. Give one example. If the smartphone suggests persons to call at a certain time, then it's no problem. But if others watching this and your wife is watching and it always suggests to call your girlfriend,
So if my smartphone, I don't have it, but assuming I would have an affair and my smartphone notices a pattern of me calling my girlfriend, so to say, every Monday at 11 o'clock. And then somehow my wife is at home at that point of time. My phone calls that woman and she answers, says, "Hey, Schatzi, hey, darling," then that might be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And things like, it's not same case, but similar to that, there's really an issue if you have recommendation engines or recommendations where other might notice of and which might be an issue. Yes.
That happened during like a project. You implemented something, and then did something like this happen then?
No, it was a kind of a proof of concept at that point, where the client wanted to find out what can we do and what data do we have, it was not real a project where we wanted to do this. It was more that the client wanted to gather experience, and then actually we did another project with the client, a total different thing, also AI related, also based on the things we learned. But at the end of this project, someone says, "Oh, this could be an issue." But it's also a learning that you have to take care. In which environment you present results or not. If you look to very good examples, then I would say there are two. One, ZDF Mediathek. We also implemented AI functions at the IRD.
And the nice part, you said your code is online, as far as I understood you. So one can really check the engine that you are, the logic.
Some algorithms that are used in the AI part, I'm not sure whether at least it's described which algorithms are used. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether the code is online, but it's explained what is done.
Interesting.
And this point worked out very well. And also, we're working for a federal office where there are also, and you know, depending on the government, what they agreed to introduce the next year. And typically, the decisions are taken in November, December, and you do not have much time to get this implemented. This company or this office, we implemented a software generator that, based on the new laws, new forms, and also the checking of the algorithm is implemented, and also AI is used to help the officers that check the applications to in order to quick decide whether money has to be paid or not.
That's interesting. So our government is not that backwards. They're even using AI with the help of consultants like you.
Yeah. Well, it's really, if you look to there's off federal offices, it's and governmental offices. It's sometimes surprising how fast they are, really, and also which kind of technologies they are using. In many cases, they are more innovative than one would expect. Yes.
That's good. Some good news. I like to have good news. Yeah, that's cool. Very good. So, with your experience, what advice would you give a consulting leader that's looking to basically start the AI journey of his or own company?
Yeah. Well, first of all, one question is, what knowledge is already in-house? Does he want to build up the skills in-house or with an external partner or combined? I would suggest if there is no knowledge available in-house, use the experience of an external partner and decide how much of your of these competences you would have to have in 1 or 3 years internal and build up this accordingly. So take external company when needed and then go on and define your goals. That's important. Where do you want to be in 1, 3 years?
Mm-hmm. Do you also partner with other consulting companies?
Yes, we have a network of other companies, especially since we are only 270 people, and sometimes and we also win real huge projects. We have kind of a group of trusted partners, call it best friends, and well, we know them, some of them, for more than 20 years since we worked at the same company in former times, and so we know them very well, and so it's easy. If we need some support or the others need some support, just to exchange and to help each other. And since if you work with them for 20, 25 years, then you know that you can trust them and it works out very well and gives us the opportunity to win even bigger deals than our team would be.
I really like to hear that, especially as with our leaders in consulting community, I see it more and more often that even consulting leaders that didn't know each other beforehand, when they meet through the either blind date networking that we do or through the meetups, for example, they start a conversation and more often than not, out of each meetup, something evolves that even leads to business together. So it's I somehow tell my team it's a nice antidote to all these. Whenever you see the news or you always see bad things. Whenever you see what we are doing, you see the good things. So it's a nice, the positive side of humanity, so to say, seeing people wanting to work or help one another. That's really cool. And it's, are you still open to work with other consultancies, or do you say, well, we are fine with the partners we have?
No, I'm open to work with others as well. And that's also why I take part in the leaders in consulting community. And I really enjoy the exchange with the others, because also there, you cannot cover even with 3, 5 partners all topics. And in some cases, clients expect solutions, custom-made solutions, and where we are not are SAP topics. So this is not our business, but also there we have some partners, and also in the consulting, leaders in consulting communities, I met leaders that are focusing on SAP topics, for instance, or other topics we are not covering, and to know them. And if you meet them a couple of times, you have a feeling that you can trust them. Then we call each other, and for some and with some we are meeting also outside the leaders of consulting community as well. So this works. Yeah.
Awesome. Very good. Are you in some way actively investing into the upskilling of your team and your consultants in the area of AI, especially, or Gen AI?
Yeah, we are doing a lot. So one thing, we have several communities, one also in the AI topic. Everyone who is interested in a topic can join the community. And there are some in the community that are really experts, and also some that are more interested in the topic and learn things. And within the communities, new trends are observed, new products, new solutions are tested, also some proof of concepts are done, so that we are able to be ahead of our clients and our competitors, and consult the clients in new topics. That's one point. The second, we are giving also lectures at the Hochschule Darmstadt, some of the lectures, or many of the lectures, are also recorded, and all of them are available for our internal staff, and a lot, not all, but many are also available in YouTube via our channel academy.a. So this is part of AXO, and we are really, one thing is we are working on accelerated solutions and methodology, and this is, you can hear the lectures on this in this channel, but we also cover the new topics like AI, like IoT, like cloud, project management, and these lectures you can see at Academy A, and we have a lot of followers also outside of AXO there.
Very, very cool. How can I imagine do these communities work? So if I would be part of the AI community, do I join a Slack or a chat group, or are there meetings, or how does it work for members?
Typically, it's that one day per week they are using the time for the community and topics. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the community, how they work, whether they have a monthly meeting or a weekly meeting, shorter, whether some are reading books together and discussing on these books or articles. Some are more like distributing topics. One is checking this product, this solution, and then there is the exchange on the observations everyone has made. So it's not that the communities work identically. It's also depending on where they are and where is the topic. If you we have also a project management community, they are working more like on complex project management topics, and more like a discussion group, and helping each other in critical situations, whereas AI community is more like, what is going on in the market? What are new trends? Let's have a look at it.
How do you personally stay on top of the whole topic AI, Gen AI?
Well, there are a couple of things. On one hand, I'm also talking with the communities and observing what they are doing. A lot of things I also learned from the clients, from the discussion with the clients, and also with partners. See what are their needs, and then I talk with our experts in order to solve how they would solve the topic, and also organizing meetings and taking part in meetings where our experts are talking to experts of our clients. And I'm also in the fields I'm interested in, and that's mainly cloud, IoT and AI. I'm also reading articles or checking what's going on in the internet. So yeah, there are different sources to stay more or less, or somehow just observe what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like you're really, you can sense some excitement and energy on the topic of AI when you talk about it. And it, for me also, it seems like I was not working in the when the internet came out, but it seems like this rush of something new. And nobody knows exactly where it's going, but you can do so many things that it's a kind of energy that's somehow out there. So what do you feel about this whole, like, I mean, you had it already 30, 50 years ago, but now it's happening and you can implement things in real life projects. What do you like most about that?
Well, I think you got the point right. What I really think is, what are topics or what I like where really that can really bring a benefit to at least to the clients and also to the clients of the clients or to us. So what can help us and what could bring us forward, and also to create new things. That's what I like. And therefore, it's to see what is going on, how can new things involve. Yes, it's more creative. You have much more openness, much more freedom to do this kind of things. And it's also the topic where you can really learn a lot of things. And I'm also interested in new things and learn things. And that's what I like. And therefore, at the moment, I think especially AI is a topic where you can really learn and where there are major changes in the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's if you look at the positive side of AI and Gen AI, it's a bright future and a really interesting one. So yeah. It's going to be exciting. Yeah, what it's going to do to all of us. And I'm going to also be interested in how the work as consultants will change. Sometimes people say it's like the shift from not having PowerPoint to having PowerPoint and not having Excel to having Excel. So the work does not totally go away and you still need these people, but they will do different things. And as you said before, you also anticipate that. I'm going to be curious what those things will be then for such junior people, especially. Probably more exciting than sitting there for an all-nighter creating PowerPoint slides.
Right. Well, it will get more complex at the beginning, but it will be definitely more exciting. And if you look back, what kind of task software took away from the people, or where it really supported a lot of these tasks, no one today would like to do anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now the mathematician in me also comes out when I saw this Gen AI the first time. Building prompts is like building math formulas somehow. For me, it was kind of similarity. Yeah. And when I showed that to our copywriters, they were amazed on how structured they could suddenly create things in a creative way. So you can be creative, but structured and then showed differences in within our copywriters in the skills that they have. So that was super interesting to see how people who are not mint related, so to say, so math related, still are able to adapt to this and leverage it in a different way. So it's going to have a really interesting impact also, the whole topic, on not only the consulting industry, but I think almost any job that is creating anything. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just have to look at the young people today, how they are using the smartphone, for instance. And yeah. also there are a lot of AI-related features already included. And yes, they they start differently, they learn differently, and for them it will be also easy to adapt to the new way.
Yeah. That being said, now we are coming to our five rapid-fire questions, Harald, at the end. I mean, consulting is sometimes hard on mind and body. So my question, my first one is, what do you do to keep your body and mind fit and sharp?
Well, I'm living south of Munich, so halfway between Munich and the Alps. So I'm spending a lot of time in the mountains, in winter time skiing, in summer hiking, and I'm also playing table tennis. So yes, some sports is important to have to relax and according to the task you're doing, typically where you have to sit a lot of the time.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Without moving a little bit, I somehow am not in a good mood.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite business book?
Well, I'm not sure whether it's a business book, but it's related to business. What I really like is 11 Rings by Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson was head coach of the Chicago Bulls in the 90s and later of the LA Lakers. And in the 90s, when the Chicago Bulls were very strong, I was in the United States.
Did you see games with him?
Pardon?
Did you see games?
Yeah, I saw games where he was coach. But
yeah, but still, you saw some games.
Yeah. But the games of Chicago Bulls at that time only on TV. I saw a lot of games of our college team, which was also fun.
It's also, college is big there. So I was astonished, like amazed by how big these, it's like some are as big as like Bundesliga clubs here in Germany.
Yeah, in the 90s, I was in Santa Barbara in this arena there. There were about 4,000 seats. And it was mainly sold out. The students at the university got tickets on first come, first serve basis for free. This was really impressive what they were doing. And actually, with the Chicago Bulls and with the LA Lakers, Phil Jackson won 11 championships in the NBA. Therefore, 11 rings, because you call it a championship ring. And I know the situation at the Chicago Bulls very well, where there was the superstar Michael Jordan, the uncoachable Dennis Rodman, and Scottie Pippen. And they were very strong, personalities. And how he made them to play and act together as a team. That's very impressive. And he did this not by pressure or force. He did this by inspiration and motivation. So very positive. And that's what I think is very important, to build teams and to lead teams, to motivate the team and to inspire this. And if you are somehow interested in sports and see how to build teams and lead teams, I see this book is very good and very very interesting.
We'll put it into the show notes, and I'm gonna definitely get it. It sounds super interesting. Thanks for this one. So I'm going to change one question here. Instead of asking you for your favorite IT tool, I'm going to ask you, what did you use GenAI last for?
Well, what is used very often is where you use GenAI is if you buy some things in Amazon or whatever, And also when I watch TV, ZDF, then you see the recommendations there. There I use it very often implicitly.
AI, you mean now? You use AI in the background, or because I asked for Gen AI, like ChatGPT, where you input something and you get something out of it.
Actually, only in my case, only for checking how it works, not really for real life. Mm-hmm. What would I use for translations if I really have a text in German, for instance, and I need to translate it in English? Then I would do it. If I know that I need the text in English, I write it in English directly. This would be things I would use. Mm-hmm. Or what I also did and try with, I think DALL-E 3 is the name of the thing, where I need pictures for the presentation, and said, create me a picture with this and this.
Yeah. Ah, cool. Very good. Who should be our next Leaders in Consulting podcast guest that you personally know?
I'm not sure. I would be interested in some topics about cybersecurity. I am not sure who I can recommend or who I personally know. There are a couple of people that are very good in these topics. I think cybersecurity, especially in the current situation with the war and the geopolitical situations, that would be very interesting, because the number of attacks are increasing and it's very important to keep your data safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. I already had someone on the show, but we didn't talk about cybersecurity. In fact, it was totally different topics. It was Matthias Bandemer from EY was on our show. It's going to be published, or when this show goes live, it's probably already published. But I'm going to look out. Yeah. So there are probably a couple of people that could be fitting into this arena. Mm-hmm. Now my last one is something that where you can get something out of the community. So my question is, or my ask, you can directly address other consulting leaders here and now. Is there anything we can help you with, or is there any type of company or, that you're looking for to potentially talk to or partner with?
Yeah. Well, I'm always interested in new developments. And as I said, we are happy to partner with other companies. And there are some fields which are coming up and where both is very interesting to talk and discuss about topics and also to partner about certain topics. And some which I really be I'm very interested in are like AI. Data analytics, but also green IT and cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm. I have two consulting leaders I can already recommend you to. And I'll tell you afterwards, after the show, call it there and ask you if you would be interested, and going to reach out to them and connect you. But yeah, we have some interesting fitting people for you. That's awesome. That's it, Harald. Thanks so much for sharing your insights. Really interesting how you and your company basically impacted a big chunk of the German population with your projects. Like just naming the ZDF, it's like one of the how do you say it in English? The public channel, the main public channel, where people watch the news or whatnot, and so a lot of people are impacted by what you're doing. Thanks for sharing that. And I think it's an interesting insight and gives some guidance on consulting leaders on how you could tackle it. And especially your advice with partnering up and not trying to build everything by yourself in the beginning is maybe good advice, to get things going.
Yeah. And yeah, thank you very much for the invitation. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I enjoyed it very much.
That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter at leadersinconsulting.com to get key takeaways from this podcast delivered straight to your inbox, and to learn more about how you can join our community of consultancy leaders from around the world. You'd really make my day if you left us a review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify. And who knows, maybe we can meet each other at the next Leaders in Consulting monthly meetup. Until then, have a great rest of your week. Your host, Sammy.